This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The war with Syria starts as early as Thursday. It's going to last 2 or 3 days. Airstrikes probably using cruise missiles almost definitely. I know that sounds cold and matter of fact, but all of the above are quotes from, and here I quote, senior American officials in the press the last day or so. Stephen Cook is a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen, it's good to have you with us.
My pleasure.
First of all, what do you make of these reports that whatever the Obama administration might do, use of force-wise, it will be 2 to 3 days' worth versus a military objective defining what's going on?
Well, I think there's two very strong reasons. One is to signal to the American people that the United States is not getting fully involved in another Middle Eastern imbroglio. The second reason is that the Obama administration really doesn't want to get involved in Syria. This is a brutal, terrible civil war with many different factions fighting. And it's clear that the president has put restrictions on the military operations in hopes of not being drawn further into the conflict.
The White House said today, I was just looking at the wires before I came into the studio, they said the president has many options beyond just the use of force. I wonder, do you suppose that means they're still considering sanctions and the like, or is there something else out there?
It sounds more like the administration is buying time on this issue. Now, with this escalation and the use of chemical weapons, there needs to be a signal sent to the international community that the use of these types of weapons are beyond the pale and that there would indeed be consequences as a result of using them.
Do you think whatever military action may or may not be taken by the White House, by the allies, will funding for the Syrian opposition continue? Will it increase now?
Well, to this point, it's mostly been funding from the Gulf countries, the Qataris, the Saudis, the Emiratis. But we may see a more active engagement on the part of Washington's traditional allies in Europe.
That funding for the Free Syrian Army and some of the rebel groups has mostly been, at least as far as I've been able to learn, mostly small arms kinds of things, logistical support. What are the odds that it would extend to anti-aircraft weaponry and things like that?
Well, this has been a source of some controversy because, of course, the United States has had some experience with providing this type of weaponry to rebels before, if you remember back to Afghanistan.
And then having
in
the 1980s. Go very, very bad, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Having it go very, very badly. And this is something, in fact, that the administration has resisted. The problem is, of course, that if one of the goals now of the United States and its allies is to do what it can to level the battlefield, certainly those types of weapons that are effective against helicopters and aircraft would be in order. But, of course, there is always that risk, given that we don't know a lot about different rebel groups in Syria, extremist groups, groups linked to al-Qaeda. There is this great reluctance to supply this type of weaponry.
This is obviously not an equation that will be balanced on dollars and cents. But given fiscal realities in Europe, given fiscal realities here, given the costs of Iraq and Afghanistan, if the next 2 to 3 days are not successful for the Obama administration, what do you suppose the appetite is for prolonged operations?
Well, there's certainly no appetite among the American people. But if, in fact, the first volley, so to speak, does not work, the American people should be prepared for additional rounds of military action until the Pentagon and ultimately the president are satisfied that the goals of the military operation are met.
Stephen Cook, he's a senior fellow in Middle East Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, Kai.